Okay, the one that I recall rejecting was the voluntary one. Is this the same one where, I think it was the year before last, it was only a $10 copay spent out of that particular $70,000 budget? This the same item?
You're correct. I believe the issue and the confusion might be into previous administrations' presentation of what the needs of this are. I believe other administrations probably tried to depict this as a contractual obligation, where actually doing the research and looking into why we need these occupational exams, it's actually state statute that requires us, not the contract. So that, and not obviously the state statute would override the contract.
So to be clear, we do not have two sets of medical evaluations. One that is requested by any firefighter over 45 years old for $70,000. That's the one that's in the back of my mind that we actually did reject one year. And then, or do we also, in addition to that one, is this one, 2021-044, the one that you're saying is an NFPA requirement, contract requirement, is that different? So do we have a total of $140,000 that the fire department is asking us to approve for both voluntary medical examinations or requested medical examinations and required medical evaluations?
They are one and the same. So this is going to be the same bank of money that we're requesting from the budget. If a member decides that he doesn't want to, would choose not to use AtMed because this is health services as the provider, and he would rather use a different physician to do his medical certification, he may very well do that. That's within the contract and within the standard that we're following. So they can go to their own doctor as long as that doctor is willing to certify them that they are fit for duty and meet the standards of NFPA 1582. They're more than willing to do that. The city would pay for that out of these same funds, but we would not give them a second examination. We would not send them that because we've already got the certification.
Are all firefighters entitled under the Blue Cross coverage plan that we have with the city of Warwick, or for the city of Warwick from Blue Cross? Are all firefighters allowed to have an annual physical from their primary care physician?
Yes, they are. That's correct.
And does Blue Cross pay for that?
Blue Cross does cover it.
So why doesn't that physical exam take the place of this? Why doesn't that physical exam from their primary care physician, who I am quite confident if they have chosen their own primary care physician, that this physician is more than qualified to make a physical evaluation of that employee and make a determination as to whether or not they're physically fit and able to perform the rigorous and strenuous duties of a firefighter? Why doesn't that medical exam that's being covered under Blue Cross suffice?
My best answer for that is going to be that those doctors are not going to sign a certification. Along with that certification, they have to meet the NFPA standard, which I know my doctor and another doctor that's in my office, same office as my doctor, is a retired firefighter. He will not sign that off because he does not meet those standards of certification. There's a whole bunch of tests and different evaluations that need to go along with it. And only occupational medical doctors that specialize in occupational exams for services like the fire service will sign that certification. And you can see that with the bid. Obviously, there's a lot of doctor's offices in the city. Only two vendors chose to be able to offer the program, offer the examination, and we're willing to sign a certification.
And the department is recommending using only one vendor for this service.
Yeah, we definitely would highly recommend one vendor. That way we're getting a consistent flow of health information back and forth between, this is gonna be health information that we're receiving, and we don't wanna be getting different health information from two different health organizations.
So has this subject, to your knowledge, Has this subject ever been broached with Blue Cross as to why they do not cover this medical examination?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Chief of Staff.
Chief of Staff, William D. Pasquale. Thank you for asking the question. Actually, Mayor Solomon, when he first learned of this, had me actually have a meeting with all the top Blue Cross officials. And on March 27, 2019, trying to save taxpayer dollars, we went to Blue Cross and said, hey, listen, why isn't this covered? And so I have some series of emails going back and forth from 2019. And it's clear that the quote that they give is that additional provider services required under the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Regulation 29, Code of Federal Regulations 1910, 0.120F3IB and related service are not included in the agreement. And what happens once you delve into this? This is not like a routine exam. This is several specific diagnoses and tests that one needs to have in exams that are well beyond the code and diagnosis codes that they use to process what is actually included in a healthcare plan. So I have emails to that effect back and forth, and clearly at that time and until this time, it wasn't covered because it's such a specialty test. And that's really what this is. It's about a specialty evaluation.
So I can appreciate that, Chief. I would relate that to a PET scan. A PET scan is a very specific examination. Very definitive examination for a very specific purpose, but yet it's covered by our healthcare plan. A CAT scan, very specific, very detail-oriented purpose for CAT scans, and those are covered. But yet this is not covered. Chief, has the question been asked what the premium would be to provide this coverage? I mean, Blue Cross, I dealt with them very, very much, in my past history. As you know, when I was chair of the healthcare committee for a very large organization. And healthcare plans can and are tailored to certain requirements and needs. Has Blue Cross ever been asked, or have they ever provided the city of Warwick with a premium for providing this specialty exam that I'm sure is a heck of a lot cheaper than a PET scan or a CAT scan or many of these other specialty examinations?
Well, I think the question is it cheaper than what the chief is asking you for now? So just like any other plan, you need a fee schedule and a code. Those codes aren't in the collective bargaining unit under the healthcare premiums that we're paying now. If in the future we wanted to add that benefit to a contract, Blue Cross would be certainly willing to give us a fee schedule. And I'm going to guess that it's going to be more significant than what we're proposing. And that is simply to pay for these required testing outside of the collective bargaining agreement, which I always love to do, is be outside of some kind of contract with a healthcare provider. So yes, we can get codes and fee schedules for this, and we could incorporate it as an additional benefit to the healthcare when contracts come up. But I will say that Mayor Solomon, to this point, has looked at stretching a penny from a nickel and adding more benefits that cost the taxpayers money is not something probably we're leaning toward.
I didn't suggest that it would be leaning towards adding. I asked if we ever got an estimate. And I know that this particular item has been something questioned by this city council and previous city councils since I've been on the city council. So this isn't some new subject that's just been broached this evening. And my question, the reason for asking the question is, I would be curious to know what premium Blue Cross, or better yet, other providers of healthcare would be willing to charge us. I'm sure that there is no negotiating or bargaining group that would object to the coverage as long as it's, I should say, the cost of the coverage as long as it's provided. I'm sure the bargaining group is not going to disagree with the same coverage or the same exam if we can get it done for a premium of $50,000. I'm just throwing it out there. So that's something that you know, I would like to see if we can get an answer on. And also, if we could, and I'm not asking for any individual's health examination report, but Chief, what I would like to request is a copy of the requirements or a copy of the criteria for that exam. What makes that exam so much different than the medical exam that I go to, as an example, an annual physical every year? So could you get me, when I say chief of staff, if you could get me from AtMed Treatment Center what the punch list is for this examination that our firefighters would be receiving?
I mean, from my perspective, it's very simple. You have a bid. It's the lowest bid for the services being rendered. If we want to speculate about opening a contract that includes healthcare provisions and adding contract language to provide additional benefits, I don't think this is the forum. There is a long list of differential that I at least was, you know, told to me by Blue Cross themselves as a difference between this and an ordinary test. I suppose I can pull up these emails that I have from 2019. But I think when Mayor Solomon first looked at this, because as you mentioned, the council was going back and forth, and Mayor Solomon's the one who said, get in a room with Blue Cross, tell them why they won't, you know, cover it. And it was very clear at that point, you're getting a lot of tests that aren't covered under the regular codes. I'd hate to reprosecute the whole idea of adding to contract language in healthcare, but I'm going to surmise that what you have in front of you is going to be significantly less than starting a new premium under a new healthcare benefit for our employees. I just don't think this is the time and forum, and I think you should go forward with it myself.
Again, Chief of Staff, I'm not suggesting or insinuating or asking for any contractual language change. I'm just asking for a comparative of cost coverage to provide this particular benefit. Just something for me. I'm not saying I'm looking to vote no on this or hold this up or make any contract changes. I'm just looking for information.
And okay, fair enough. What this
specialized test, why it is so different than what is covered under your traditional medical exam. I mean, I think that's a reasonable question to ask.
Sure, and I'll give you a reasonable answer. So under the hazards of material, physical, respirator questioning to begin with, an audiogram, a Turin 20 CBC, CHD, and UA, a RBC serum test, archiving urine and blood existing techs, chest x-ray, every 5 years, a medically indicated an EKG, a PPD one step, PSA over 40, pulmonary functioning test, a thymus vision test, heavy metals test, urine test, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, lead, baseline for new techs, PSD one step, and that's about it.
Great.
I guarantee you, none of those you get at your doctor.
Okay, so, and you could very well be right. So that
I list know
you,
I'm right.
Good. That list that you have right there, would you be able to email that to me?
I'll do it right now, actually.
Great, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, thank you for that, Chairman. Chief, do you have any other comments to add on this? Assistant Chief?
Not at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Council President Marola.
Thank you. I just wanted to follow up on what Mr. DePasquale was talking about, and I served on this council for many years with Mayor Solomon. And as a councilman, he advocated for what exactly you're talking about, Councilman Lattisaw. And I was happy to see that both the chief of staff and the mayor followed through on those to see if we could get savings. Because I too thought it was a little ridiculous that we couldn't include them. And I also remember reading that letter that Mr. DePasquale was referring to in 2019. I think he sent it out to us. And he makes a lot of good points about tests that are not included. At the appropriate time, I don't know if we need to make changes to the actual contract with the firefighters, or if that could be part of our bid process when we go out to a bid for healthcare, that we include not only the specifications in the contract, but for that service on the side. Because although there are a lot of items that are not covered by what Mr. DePasquale talked about, there are some or many that are covered in a typical physical. So maybe we wouldn't get the full price of $100,000, but maybe we would get $50,000 off or so. And I just think that it's worth exploring. I don't think we can do it now. I think we have to vote on this tonight. But it's something to bring up the next time, in my opinion, the city goes out for a healthcare contract. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any other questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on 2020-044 firefighter occupational medical exams.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Both chiefs.
Thank you.
Item 2021-050, promotional professional auditing services, and that is found on page 174. This is city portion only.
Who's my going video's to be not speaking? On. Do you need my video?
Okay, you're on now, Lynn.
Okay. So the city went out to bid recently for professional auditing services. We got two responses, and I'm requesting you award to the not just the lowest bidder, but the best qualified bidder with Markham.
Christy, you want to give us some background on the reasoning on this and why you referred to them as the lowest qualified bidder?
Best qualified.
Best qualified.
And the low bidder. They have a long history in the state of Rhode Island. The other was CLA. They have a long history in Massachusetts, but not Rhode Island. We also really like that Markham has a plan that they've outlined to provide a timely audit, which is a very big goal of the Treasury Department. CLA did not provide a clear timeline.
And Lynn, when you emphasize a timely audit, I'm assuming that you are reflecting back on previous audits and less than timely completions?
Correct.
Any questions from, I'll reserve for comments later. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howe.
Thank you. I was wondering, is there a representative from Markham here right now?
I saw him on the line, yes. I don't know if he's still here.
Okay.
Kyle?
Would that be Kyle Connors?
Yeah, that's Kyle.
Okay. Hi, Kyle. Is he listening?
Yes, I am. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Kyle, I'm gonna ask you some very direct questions, and I would appreciate to the best of your ability to answer them. I'm not gonna put you under oath, but I'm gonna certainly request that you answer them as honestly as you can. Is there anyone on the Markham board that is a member of any campaign staff of any elected official on this council?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. Is there anyone on that Markham board or Markham that is going for this bid that is involved in any of the executive duties on a campaign staff of this elected council?
Nothing that I'm aware of.
Okay. And no one is acting actively as the treasurer of anyone on this council?
I would have no knowledge of that.
Okay, is this the same Markham company that also was hired by this council to do the auditing in the past?
I've only been with the firm for about 18 months, so I don't know of any other companies named Markham, but I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I believe the firm that you're talking about was acquired by Markham, correct?
I thought it was the same company.
Excuse me. Whoa. If we're going to be having, different folks commenting on this, I would appreciate if you be recognized by the chair prior to beginning your comments. Thank you. Go ahead, Councilman Howell.
Okay. So, Lynn, I'm sorry, Chairman, I'm going to ask Lynn to ask that question again, please.
I'm a little shady on the history between Markham and, what was it, YKSM, but I understand YKSM used to be the council's auditor, correct? And then they were bought by Markham?
Okay, all right, thank you.
And right. To my knowledge, they're very different departments within the organization as a whole.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
Well, either through the chairman, Lynn, or gentleman, I'm sorry, was it Kyle, who I'm speaking to representing Markham. When was YSKM purchased by Markham?
It would have been July of 2018-ish.
Okay.
That's before my
I understand.
Joining Markham.
Okay, July of 2018. That's your estimate?
To the best of my knowledge, again, that was before my time with Markham.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. I wasn't sure if you were completed or not.
I am.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions or comments from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Are there any questions from members of the public? So, hearing none, I'm just going to make a few comments here. So, as you know, back when Mayor Solomon was Council President Solomon, we had acquired the services of an auditor. We needed an auditor that both had CPAs as well as CFIs on their staff. We had used other auditors in the past and didn't work out so well. So, as a credit to, at the time, Council President Solomon, the auditing firm of YKSM was hired. And they were hired because we had pending litigation with one of the bargaining groups. We had a significant amount of issues with the school department. We had pending arbitration with them as well. And they got us through this. And I personally am quite happy to see that the administration has gone out for bid for an auditing firm. I am happy to see that the administration has also concurred and made the determination that Mockham is the most qualified vendor to perform this service. So certainly I think having an auditor of their qualifications as well as their size, they're a national organization. It isn't just a city of Warwick or state of Rhode Island company. They're a national company as I understand it. And they certainly have performed for the services that were required by the city in the recent past. I am certainly comfortable with the fact of what their capabilities are going forward. And I concur with the administration in this selection. So having said that, I would ask for a motion on 2021-050 professional auditing services.
I'll move favorable action.
We have a motion favorable action. Do we have a second? I'll second it. We have a motion.
Point to make too, now that there's a motion made.
Excuse me, Councilman?
I have something to add now that there's a motion made, given that we can discuss it.
Go ahead.
My own views of Mockham, I mean, based on talking to the school department, they weren't shy about their criticism in regards to them, but leaving that out, I was not happy with how they billed us, the manner in which they did it, nor how they handled the work for us, frankly. I think I've conveyed that at least at times, and I also conveyed similar apprehensions when they came up before us for renewal at the council side. And I know what my thoughts would be next time they come up before us as well. So if the administration wants to speak on this and to assert they're fine with it and why, then that's one thing. But otherwise, I don't support this.
Thank you, Councilman. Duly noted that you are not supporting the administration's recommendation of Mockham Group. Duly noted.
Not what I said.
Do we have a motion?
That's not what I said.
What did you? I thought you just said that you were not supporting this motion.
I said if the administration does support this and they wish to say so, and preferably why as well, but at least if they support it, then I'd like to hear it. But if they don't, and I have no indication that they do, nor that they state it such, then I'm not in favor of it. And by administration, I mean the corner office and whatnot, not simply a division within.
Okay, so as I said, you disagree with it. Fine, thank you. We have a motion, we have a second.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Howell, yes.
Thank you so much. And I do apologize about coming in late. I know there is a motion. I'm very aware there's a second. I was going to request if there could be a change of motion to hold. If not, I understand, but I was going to request a change of motion to hold.
We have a motion and we have a second on the floor. I'm going to ask for a vote on the motion.
Okay, thank you.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor? Aye.
I'm going to vote no.
No.
To hold.
Okay. Motion fails. I assume we're going to need a PCR on this. Madam Clerk. No. Okay. So we have unfavorable action, correct?
Well, I'll make a motion to hold.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
I'll make a motion to hold.
Okay, whoa, stop. So, Council Solicitor, we have a suggestion to retract the original motion and make a motion to hold.
Mr. Chairman, you held a proper motion that was seconded and a vote occurred. So that motion failed by a 1-2 vote. So we are back just on the item itself. So anyone is at any member of the committee can put forth a new motion at this time without having to backtrack anything.
Okay, we have a motion to hold by Councilman McAllister. We have a second by Councilman
Seconded.
Howe. Now we need a PCR, correct?
Yes, sir.
What is that PCR? Is it 6220?
PCR 6220.
Okay, this becomes PCR 6220. A motion by Councilman McAllister to hold, a second by Councilman Howe. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Ayes have it. PCR 6220 is being held until when, Councilman McAllister?
Next meeting is August 17th.
August 17th, okay. Please.
Thank you. We have a motion to hold until August 17th. Thank you. Thank you for very interesting dialogue.
Thank you, Chairman.
You're welcome, sir.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I apologize. If I may, Lynn wasn't here for the emergency or the rescue service, and she's online now. Did you want to go back to that? Did you want to kick that to the end?
Councilman Howe, being as I am so agreeable, I will leave that up to you. Would you like to have that move now, or would you like to have it move later? What is your pleasure, sir?
I'm good to move it now. We can get it done and over with so we don't forget about it again.
That, Councilman McAllister, any objection? A thumbs up. We're good. Lynn, go right ahead, please.
Thank you.
That is 2019-052. And it's found on page 15.
I am requesting a 6-month extension on our rescue services bid. It's actually currently expired, and I fully admit that was just my oversight in the chaos that's been going on down here. They do really good work, and I feel like the 6 months is enough time to go out to bid again for the award. While also not losing any of the data that they may have due to rescues from COVID. So that's why I'm asking for the full 6 months.
So Lynn, you're looking to move this or to extend it from July 1st through December 31st?
Yep.
Okay. And when did the contract expire?
June 30th, unfortunately.
Okay. You know what, Lynn, with everything that has been going on, I don't have a problem with that. And I do appreciate, you know, you just coming straight out with it. I know for a fact that it has occurred. I don't think there's any department in this city that can't say that somewhere along the line, something got mixed up in the shuffle with the chaos, with whether it be COVID or anything else. I don't think there's a department in the city that at some point hasn't lost track of a bid. So I don't have a problem with your request, and I do respect your candidness on it. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? So this will become PCR 6320. And at the request of the department head, they're looking for a 6-month extension. I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
A question for the director. The protocol in the bid itself is July 1 to 12/31. Is there an amendment needed to this, or is this all set as in its current form as part of the bid package? If so, no PCR is needed.
That's a good point, Council. Lynn, so the legal counsel is suggesting that your original request is to extend from 7/1/20 to 12/31/20. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. Thank you, Counselor. I appreciate that clarification. Withdraw the PCR 63. I need a motion as it sits for 2019-052 to grant the 6 months of extension.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, 2021-052, automotive wet batteries, found on page 179.
Department of Public Works is requesting to award this bid to three vendors, A1 Battery and Electric, Wraps Auto Supply, and Action Auto Parts, in the amount of $35,000 for a two-year period.
Christy, again, what's the reasoning for three vendors on this?
Well, these three vendors, they were pretty evenly matched to some degree as far as who had what for the lowest price. A1 Battery had 5 items, Wraps actually had 12, and Action had 3. So in an effort to save the most money in this economic climate that we're in for the city, we would make the purchases based on the type of battery, whoever's the lowest bidder.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council?
I have a question.
Councilman Corley.
Can someone please tell me what a wet battery is?
The battery that's not dry.
It's the vehicle batteries. Like your car battery, it's a battery like that.
Okay, what's the difference between a wet and a dry battery?
Wet battery has acid in it. I don't know what a dry battery is. I've never heard of one, but a wet battery has acid.
Well, I suppose the batteries I put in my flashlights might be dry. I don't know. I was just wondering what it meant. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 20, number 2021-055, professional printing and mailing, found on page 183.
Good afternoon. Good evening, Chairman Lattiser.
Good evening, Russell. How are you?
Good. Thank you. The city went out to bid for the printing of the recycling calendar along with the mailing, and the city is recommending that we award the bid to the lowest bidder, which was Indiana Printing and Publishing Company Incorporated.
And Director, to your knowledge, does the city have any experience with this particular vendor?
Yes, they have produced a calendar for us in the past. I think most recently it was 2018. So they have some experience doing this, and they've proven that they can do the job.
Who is the vendor in 2019, and who is the current vendor?
I do not have that information in front of me at the moment. I'll probably get that back to you at some point.
So I don't know. So did the current vendor bid on this? Perhaps someone else in the administration would know? I'm asking the questions because I know we had some problems with this calendar in the past. So I'm looking to...
Chairman, yes. It's not here in the past. This is my first go around.
I know.
As you intimated that there have been in the past issues, mistakes here or there, but I can assure you that under my tenure, that will not be the case. Mm-hmm.
Council Chair?
Yes.
Chairman? Christy, so ahead. In 2018, the calendar was produced by Indiana Printing and Publishing.
Okay.
That was fiscal year 19, so it was last year.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not last year.
Year 2 years. Yeah.
Fiscal year 19, it was produced by 21st Century Media. And I believe they are on the the vendor list. And it was slightly more than it is this request. It was $30,511.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Director Moore, I'm sure that you were going to do exactly what you said and make sure that everybody plays nice with these calendars.
Yes, you have my word.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, this is for Mr. Moore. On page 183 on the top, it says three bids were received, but actually there were eight, right, listed?
Yeah, that's correct. There were eight bids.
All right, because the top says three bids received, unless it's a misprint. I don't know.
I would say that's a misprint. We did receive eight bids, and as I indicated, we are going with the lowest bidder, and they are a qualified bidder.
But very good.
It's a good catch. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you
for that clarification, Councilwoman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any other questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members? Excuse me?
Councilman Ricks.
Chairman, if I may.
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman Ricks. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. Very brief comment. So I suppose hearing from a constituent a few years ago, he tells me that decades ago, St. Joseph's Day appeared on the Warwick recycling calendar. It had fallen off in some recent years, but then I had contacted the city, who in turn contacted the company printing the calendar to make sure that St. Joseph's Day was recognized on the calendar. So I believe that last time that Indiana Printing was performing these services, that was before St. Joseph's Day made it back on the calendar. So I wanted to make a brief note to make sure that we keep that day recognized on the calendar. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion of favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Ayes have it. Item 21-2021-083, State of Rhode Island crack ceiling on page 188.
Public Works is requesting to piggyback the state bid for crack ceiling in the amount of $80,000 for a two-year period expiring December 31st, 2022, and that is concurrent with the state bid. And the award would go to Seal Coating Inc., who is the awarded vendor for the state of Rhode Island.
Okay. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 22-2020-213D, original equipment manufacturer's parts, found on page 199.
Public Works is requesting to award this vendor to the OEM parts bid. We are not requesting any additional funding. This vendor, and I believe you have it in your packet, I provided that they're the only dealer in this area for E1 parts, which are the ladders 2, 3, 4, and engine 13. We have had a little bit of difficulty getting parts for some of these vehicles on different occasions, so we are requesting to add them to the bid. To ensure that we can purchase parts without issue.
Okay, so you're asking us to add another vendor to the list because you've had difficulties acquiring parts for some of the fire department's vehicles.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? We have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Next item, 2021-083, police undercover operations, found on page 202. Chief?
It's Major.
Major, okay.
The police department seeking authorization under the provisions of City Ordinance 56-6 to make expenditures for police undercover operations. This exception to notice is requested in order to not compromise any undercover narcotics operations undertaken by the department. If approved, funding will come through federal asset forfeiture. It would not exceed $20,000. Vouchers would be prepared each quarter in the amount of $5,000.
Duly noted, Major. Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Item 24, 2021-086, found on page 204. Precast items for manhole and catch basins. Christy, go ahead.
Department is requesting to a 56-6 for Anchor Concrete in Cranston. We have bid these items three times and received no responses whatsoever. However, we do have a need to purchase them. They are the most local vendor to us. These items are to rebuild catch basins, manholes, any sort of concrete building products, the concrete, the mortar, the rebar, anything that we need. So we are asking for $15,000 for 1 year from date of award.
So Christy, it's interesting that you say you've gone out several times for bids and have received absolutely no bids. You know, having said that, in an interest of trying to determine why nobody's bidding, did you or anyone from the department reach out to any of the prospective vendors to ask them why they're not bidding?
No, we have not.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Howell.
Oh, I'm still on. Mr. Chairman, I was just, as soon as I heard that, the first thought that came in my mind was what you just asked of, you know, well, if we're not getting people reaching out to us, I know that there's different ways through the Secretary of State's website to find these corporations and also go through the Better Business Bureau the Small Business Administration to find these companies and just put a little bit of time. It could be delegated the time to see what we can find as far as these companies that have this stuff, considering that is very ideal that we need it. So I would agree with what you said. I know that for the last almost 4 years, Mr. Chairman, one of the first things that we tackled and your first year as the finance chair was trying to find ways to bring businesses to want to bid in. And it's unfortunate that we're reaching out and trying to buy something from anyone where, you know, reaching out and the communication is one of the more important parts. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. And, you know, I agree. There's plenty of ways to reach out to these vendors. As a matter of fact, I believe when Attorney Connolly came on board, he had provided us all with an opinion on doing just that. So it's concerning to me that we know we have not been able to get vendors to bid on a particular item or a particular product, and we don't make the contacts or the phone calls or do the research to find out why people are not bidding or to discover new vendors that we may have not seen or we may have not known about. That just is concerning. In any event, that's what it is. We don't have a vendor, so we got to go reaching out and go along with this one vendor, whether this price is good, bad, or indifferent. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? We have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
I move favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item, PCR 54-20. We're going to start with PCR 55-20 resolution relative to abatements. There are no minutes for approval, by the way. PCR 55-20.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Finance Committee, members of the City Council. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. This month, we have abatements in front of you for July of $435,375.56. I will say that since I was here, this is the largest month that we've had in front of you. So I want to put that in perspective. Okay. First being because of COVID-19, this is really about 5 months worth of abatements coming to you in 1 month. So it averages up to about $87,000 per month if we looked at it that way. The majority of these are Board of Assessment Review appeals. Those appeals got backed up because of COVID-19 as well. And I have to say the board did a great job trying to adjudicate everything once we were able to host meetings prior to the tax bills going out. It was a monumental task where we still had over 100 appeals pending when that opportunity came up to finally move forward. So a little bit more in perspective, even though this is a large amount, what was budgeted for the year was $1,500,000 in abatements. And with this amount, total for the year, we're gonna be at $698,000, just a little bit below that. So still only about 47% of what was budgeted. And keep in mind, this was a reevaluation year. We did the statistical reevaluation. Historically, I look back and just give you a little perspective. Not sure what happened in 2013, obviously well before I got here, but the city abated $8,225,000 worth of value. That was also a year following a statistical update. So the same project type that we had this time around. And I know there were some problems with that. I don't know exactly the particulars, but we're hoping that never happens again, and certainly not under my watch. Going forward, 2014, there were $2.9 million worth of abatements. 2015, $1,615,000. And then 2016, which was also a revaluation year, but that was a full revaluation, it was $1,635,000. The next 2 years, I joined the city in the beginning of 2018. And so that's partially reflective in my administration. And the abatements dropped to $975,000. That was about 5 months into my term. 2018, we had 293,000, which was last year. So that's a non-revel year. And then this year, as we said, we got the total of about 698,000. So just to give you a little perspective, I know it's a large amount, and I'll answer any questions that you have.
Thank you, Director. Before I start asking any questions, I want to comment on, in my opinion, your performance since you have been here. And I think you have done an excellent job in your capacity. I always find you to be available to answer questions when questions come up. And I think you and your staff have done a very good job on minimizing the abatements, particularly the things that under the previous administration, I at least came to term as surprises. And not pleasant surprises either.
Sure.
So it's a breath of fresh air not to be receiving these any longer. But having said that, I think you said that these abatements are going to be reflective in the previous fiscal year. or are these going to be incurred in this fiscal year? I'm not sure if I understand you.
They're incurred in this fiscal year just because we're at a July meeting that's now in this fiscal year, but they're posted against the fiscal year that included the 2019 calendar year bills. So when we post abatements, it's always against the year that the bill was issued. So that the figures that I gave you are all working under the same methodology as well. So
what, if any, effect will it have on the budget that we approved for this fiscal year?
I don't believe it'll have any. Again, there's some money left over from last year's abatements. I'm not sure the logistics of that. I'd have to talk to Lynn to see if that gets moved over, because we didn't even use half of what was allocated in last fiscal year. But you might know the answer to that, but I'd have to check with Lynn to see how that works. But for this fiscal year coming up, we've budgeted $900,000. This becomes a non-reval year. So most of the issues that were going to come up that related to the reevaluation already did come up, and we've dealt with those either through appeals to me directly or through the board. There'll be a handful of new ones that come up. There'll be a whole host of appeals that we get related to COVID-19, but the state law is pretty clear that the value at the time that we're doing the assessment is what has to be considered. There's a little bit of ambiguity whether it's the reval year or the year of the assessment, but in both cases, there was no COVID in December 31st, 2019. So although we probably will incur more litigation expense, I don't think we'll actually come anywhere near the $900,000 that have been allocated for abatements in this fiscal year 2021.
Okay. On item 10729. It's an abatement in the amount of $6,864.83. The only description I see on my sheet is Board of Review. Who was that for?
That is for, and I apologize to that, I didn't pick up on that, but I think being the first one on the report, I'm going to have to look at that to see if that's been a common thing. That is Trafalgar Apartments. And they are partially affordable housing, partially market-based housing. So they fall under the 8% taxation policy for a portion of the units, about half of the units.
Okay. I had to look at it a couple of times too to come to the conclusion that I was missing a title in there. Item 10808, DP Realty LLC. Has an abatement of $13,740. Could you give us the reasoning for that?
What's the owner of that one?
DP Realty. And it's the reference number 10808.
Okay, so that's an abatement that was done by the Board of Assessment Review. And just for a little perspective, appeals that go to the board are one of two things. Either they didn't have the documentation that was required at the time they appealed to me directly, or I disagreed with the opinion of value that was presented and chose to let the board decide on it. So this is a commercial condominium, one of several that were in front of the board and they're now on the agenda for tonight, where the revaluation company had really based their opinion on four transactions that took place within the commercial condominium market. And in some of those cases, there was more information that came out as a result of the appeal, one being some of the transactions included personal property being included with the price. In other cases, people were under a 1031 exchange where they had to invest the money within a certain time period. And in other cases, there included a high portion of build out that the owner of the condominium unit had to pay in order to get the tenant to take the lease. So there's a lot of different things involved there. So with that, most of the commercial condominiums that you see, the board, after hearing all the testimony, reviewing the appraisals, the analysis that was presented by the expert, which is Peter Scotty, that came forward on their behalf, they basically reduced the assessments by 15% on those commercial condominium units.
Okay, the next item is 10702, J.C. Penney Properties. With an abatement of $51,105.
So that one, this is something I'm going to do a study on throughout the year, because we have a lot of properties in the city that are listed as condominium units, but as it came to light with this property, they were done more for convenience when the assessor at the time needed to bill JCPenney directly and not the Warwick Mall. They split it out and called it a condominium unit. But as a condominium unit, there's no land value associated with that. So the building costs are higher than what they would otherwise be to get to the value. But in this particular case, when we looked into it, it's not a condominium. They have a recorded ground lease. So when we looked at that and we looked at the methodology that should have been put in play, it lowered the assessed value. I will let you know that the property owner, through their representative, has not felt that that was sufficient enough of an adjustment, but I felt confident. You know, there are some issues with JCPenney themselves from the financial situation, but we can't look at that in terms of the value. We purely have to look at what it could be sold for if it was put on the market.